He's Jim Browdy.
And she's Marjorie Egan.
And this is Boston Public Radio.
89.7 WGBH, WGBH HD1 Boston.
Online at WGBHnews.org.
Boston's local NPR. Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I'm Jim Browdy. She is Marjorie Egan. Here with us in Studio 3 is someone who could live to, well, I don't know, at least 109, which would make most, not all, of the people she works with happy. We'll get to that. We'll get to why that is in a couple of minutes. First, we have the fate of same-sex marriage in the Supreme Court of the United States to talk about. And we are talking with Sue O'Connell, who, as you know, is the co-publisher of Bay Windows and the South End News. Hello there, Sue.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Sue O'Connell. So let's start with the United States Supreme Court and gay marriage. I think a lot of us presume that they wouldn't have taken this case, given the way history is going and that more and more states, was it 36, 38?
Yeah.
Are now okay in gay marriage. The Supreme Court wouldn't have taken this case unless they were going to make a big change here. But you do have some very conservative justices there.
Yeah, you do. And I think, you know, as this broke at the end of last week and it's been developing, there are so many experts. I am not an expert in the Supreme Court nor the Constitution.
That's right. That's my favorite line.
But I still have an opinion. But those who are experts, who are down the middle, don't have a point of view on marriage equality or not, are saying that it looks pretty clear that they would not have taken it. That the number of states that are now in the balance for marriage equality, the number of Americans who support or don't care about marriage equality, and the number of people who have access to it, which is over 70% now, makes it pretty clear that it looks like they're just going to follow the guidelines of sort of the expansion of slavery back in the Civil War times. You know, this amendment, the 14th Amendment, was put in place to make sure that everyone who was an American citizen was treated the same under the law through all the states. So that's pretty much what's going to happen here, I think.
No, I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask you one of the big question marks. I mean, I think people presume that Scalia is going to be a no, and Clarence Thomas is going to be a no, and Alito is going to be a no. And but Roberts is kind of murkier.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
the Chief Justice, of course.
You know, we don't know what they say so much anymore. We can only kind of look through their decisions and the comments that they've made. But when it comes down to sort of the strict adherence of being a conservative, this falls right in their wheelhouse. You know, that's sort of the waiting for the right cases that make the right law has been the game plan for marriage equality advocates all along. And, you know, this really, it's sort of like the Windsor case, which the Supreme Court weighed in last year, which ended up repealing the Defense of Marriage Act or making it null for the most point. It's really hard if you're a conservative to say that the government should take more of your money, which is what the Edie Windsor case was about. She was a widow. Her spouse had passed away, and because the Defense of Marriage Act, which was a federal law, did not recognize their union, she was going to have to pay more taxes. So, right. I mean, these are the sort of arguments that we'd hope to bring in front of conservatives.
You know, we've talked about how the Goodriches and the other couples were the perfect plaintiffs in Massachusetts. Windsor was the perfect plaintiff in that case. I don't know who the plaintiffs are in this thing. But a couple of things. My understanding
Why were they perfect, Jim?
What?
Why were they perfect?
Well, perfect cases
they
make,
look
you
great,
know,
they have great warm perfect relationships.
Yeah. I know, but it's kind of a sad situation that they were the perfect
Edie Windsor is an old woman.
Gorgeous.
She's
I know it, but when you saw her when she was young.
Well, I mean, it also had to be, you know, they also have to meet a certain criteria, I think, of you know, being able to make the case.
Kind of life they've lived, what kind of spokespeople they
and
are.
And this was a big chunk of money, too, for Windsor.
Right.
But putting that aside for a second, my understanding, and I could be wrong, I don't think so, the only time Roberts has ever voted with four liberals is on keeping the Affordable Care Act alive,
which
a lot of liberals and people who support the Affordable Care Act who are not liberals hope he does again down the line. My attitude, and the conventional wisdom is Anthony Kennedy is the swing vote on everything, he'll be the swing vote here. Let me give you my naive perspective on this. I refuse to believe that somebody like John Roberts – the Chief Justice, as opposed to just an Associate Justice, wants to be on the wrong side
right,
of history.
Exactly.
Now, you may, by the way, I don't mean to even offend today anti-gay marriage people. The reality is gay marriage is going to be the law of the land. It may not happen in June of next year. It may not happen for, it is, nobody denies. So in that case, does John Roberts want his legacy to be, he was good on this, he kept the Affordable Care Act, he was a conservative on things, security, whatever they want to say. However, he was the deciding vote to keep gay marriage.
You know, as a
marriage,
history teacher, you know, because I'm homeschooling and
that's
I'm doing,
right.
I'm doing
that's
the eighth
right.
grade, and I can tell you that the only thing the history books cover is who was the first and who was the last.
Yeah,
yes.
right.
Great. That's
so
great
we
point.
Find out who did first, right? We're doing, you know, suffrage and what state allowed
We're
marriage
doing.
First, right? And then at the end, they tell you who was against it, who was the last. And I think to Jim's point, you know, if the Supreme Court, as we think they will, just says, okay, everyone can get married, which is basically what will happen, if Roberts is against it, it will be in the history books that he voted against it. So
Dred
I
Scott.
Think, yeah, hey, exactly.
So, by the way,
exactly.
His sister's a lesbian, right?
I believe so.
I believe that. But then one last thing about this. Is there, when you were answering Marjorie's question about your thesis, you know, her thesis, everybody's thesis, I guess, they wouldn't have taken it, where they're going to undo what's been done by all these states, particularly with states' rights kind
yes.
of people, which
a federalism,
a lot of the conservatives are, is there a middle ground here? I mean, they sort of split the baby with a California ballot
yeah.
question, as we all know. Is there a middle ground on this for the Supreme Court? I don't know
no,
enough
I
to
think,
know.
I think because it's such a clear 14th Amendment issue. You know, it's the issue of, like, driver's license. You know, you get a driver's license in Virginia and you can drive across the United States. It's not the case with gun laws. You know, that's different. But marriage, your marriage is recognized in all 50 states regardless of what the law is. I believe in New Hampshire, a 14-year-old girl can get married with her parents' consent. They don't come to Massachusetts and then not have their marriage recognized because we have a higher age of consent.
Mm. I did not know you could get married at
14.
Yeah,
I threaten my 14-year-old of that all the
wow.
time.
Wow.
So there's
wow.
reciprocity in
right.
that regard, even if – okay.
You know, I do worry that if Roberts votes with the liberals on gay marriage, that he won't vote with the liberals on Obamacare. It makes me very, very nervous.
Well,
anyway.
You know, I can tell you throughout history there have that that kind of trade-offs.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Okay, well, let's move on to – Jim mentioned at the beginning that when he introduced you to Sue O'Connell from Bay Windows that you're going to live to 109 years old.
She looks very well preserved now.
She does.
I am, and I'm 75.
Amazing. Do you have any particular advantage that could lead you to make that outrageous claim?
I don't spend a lot of time with men, and according to the woman who just recently turned 100 and what? How old was
Nine.
She?
109.
She was asked what her secret to a long life was,
yeah.
and she said, I don't spend any time with men. Stay away from men. I posted that on my Facebook page because I know there's nothing straight women love to do more than to complain about men.
Exactly.
They complain about their husbands.
They do.
They're killing me,
you know,
in other words. Exactly.
I mean, back in the olden days, like in the 1970s, they'd say, lesbians hate men. Lesbians hate men. They're man-haters. And then I'd go to, like, some party with straight women, and they'd be in the kitchen totally eviscerating their husbands. And I'm like, you know, lesbians don't hate men. Straight women who are married to them hate men.
Well, you know, I want to know, and I should know this, but I don't. I know there's all these studies all the time
yeah.
that says marriage is good for your health, that if you are married, you're going to live longer. Why do I think they're only polling the men in those studies? Because men need a woman more than a woman needs a man, has been my observation.
Oh, absolutely, especially when they're sick, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you need support. And I didn't necessarily jump to that lesbians are going to live longer because they don't have any men in their lives. Mm-hmm. I think this woman has been single, very happy about it, you know, and doing her own thing. So.
Well, you're missing the 109-year-old woman who's, where is she again from? Australia. I don't know where she is. She is actually not the oldest person.
No,
I did a little research. The oldest person, allegedly, in Scotland, she's from Scotland.
Yeah.
The oldest person in the world is from Japan.
Correct.
Misao Okawa. She's 116. And there's a similar vein. I don't think she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
She has been a widow for 83 years.
Oh, there you go.
Her husband died in 1931. And the suggestion is made in this other article that it is not so much the issue of heterosexuality versus homosexuality. The issue is
avoiding men.
Distancing yourself from the male species.
The man lasted forever.
The whole mansplaining thing. You know, I know you guys have talked about it this week.
We did the other day. Yes, we did.
It totally happened. The older, like my dear Jeff Coakley, my dear co-publisher,
right.
He is a huge mansplainer. And the older he gets, the more he mansplains.
Explain for those who weren't tuned in the other day what mansplaining is, please.
It's when, you know, we work on a computer program together, which I sort of, you know, did from the beginning. And he goes away on vacation. And then he sits and explains to me every step I have to take in order to run the production reports. You know, and I sit there and I go, okay, Jeff, like, I'm the one who designed this. I know how to do it, you know, but he does it to everybody. So I don't see it as, but the older he gets, the more mansplaining he does. So I think if you're apart from the men, mm-hmm. you don't have to listen to the mansplaining, and then you can spend more time, you know, being healthy and living a long and happy life.
We have to ask Art Kaplan, medical ethicist, about extraordinaire about that. No, not about mansplaining, but about longevity.
Yeah, well, I want to know the breakdowns. I want to know in the marriage is good for your health thing, whom they're asking. That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Well, now, Sue O'Connell, yes. We talked to you, I'm pretty sure, yeah, it was last week. Transparent won the best comedy at the Golden Globes. The lead actor, mm-hmm. what's the guy's name again?
Exactly. Yeah.
Won the best actor.
One of those great character
in
comic
a comedy.
Actors.
And the three of us agreed that television, mm-hmm. whether it's Transparent, whether it's Archie Bunker, whether whatever it is, Bill Cosby, can
the old Bill Cosby.
Yes, can change the culture and public attitudes about things much more than virtually mm-hmm. any other kind of medium. Billy Crystal is famous for a lot of things, including being the first actor to play a gay character on television, soap. On soap, mm-hmm. ever. Billy Crystal is now becoming infamous to a degree about some comments he recently made about gays on the small screen. What's up with that?
I love Billy Crystal, too. And there's actually, this is not one of those slam dunk, oh my God, I can't believe Billy Crystal said it, because folks are sort of taking a longer view on this depending on their age. Billy said that there was just too much in your face gay kissing gay sex on TV, on your regular TV shows. And he's not talking about the Modern Family, every now and then they kiss. I think he's more referring to things like How to Get Away with Murder, where there's more explicit romantic scenes, which have been on straight shows for a few mm-hmm. years now. And I think what he's basically saying is more that he was sort of counseling, like, you know, we did all this work, and now here you are with the same gross kissing on TV that the straight people are doing.
No, but I can't believe you're buying into that. As much as I love him, his explanation after he got in trouble was to say what you're saying, which is I'm as upset with heterosexuals mm-hmm. overdoing it on television. I never heard him complaining about heterosexual overdoing.
Right, because I don't
until
think
he had to defend himself.
I don't think he was as sensitive to it. I mean, I've been watching The Bachelor. All right.
Yes,
I do. I love The Bachelor. Ruby and I watch The Bachelor.
She's watching it with her daughter.
And the kissing on it is, it is so over the top. It is just too much kissing. And it's just kissing. And he's kissing everyone. And it's loud. And it's gross.
What, the kissing is loud?
The kissing is loud. Because you've got your surround speakers up, right?
Yeah,
you know, this is the other thing to Billy Crystal's point. It's not like you're just watching a little TV from the couch now. You have the surround sound, the big screen, and it's like...
But, you know, I think it depends, you know, on whom you're watching.
Yeah.
Because we all watch
And who you're watching with.
Remember Brokeback Mountain?
Yes, I do.
Heath Ledger, Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, Heath Ledger's one of the most beautiful men to ever grace the face of the earth. That wasn't...
But it was a movie, too.
It was a movie.
It was a movie.
It was a movie.
And, you know, there's definitely affection, I think. And I think this is where Billy Crystal kind of bobbled it. When he's talking about the kissing, I think he's talking about more than just the girls who kiss on the ABC Family Channel or, again, Modern Family. I think he's talking about the 10 o'clock shows, which are the network shows, not the cable shows, that are definitely more explicit. And I know, I mean, my brother can't watch TV with his daughter because it makes him uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not the gay kissing, all the kissing.
You know, you're such, the reason you're going to live to 109, you are such a decent person. And I'm serious. You are so much more forgiving.
Of Billy Crystal?
Than we are about so many things.
Well,
it's incredible.
You know,
much more judgmental.
Billy really carried the flag, too.
I know he did. That's
some
a good
crit.
Point. That's
you know,
a good
he's
point.
Like Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden says stupid crap all the time. We go, Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
Well, so for those who don't know, Joe Biden's question at a fundraiser, where was it, in California?
Yeah, about same-sex marriage.
Was ultimately what most people think forced his boss, the President of the United States, to buy in. Yeah.
So what do you think about what Billy Crystal said?
I think it's the unfortunate pronouncement of a guy who's getting older.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
Who probably shouldn't be given as much rope as Sue has given him about what he said now, but probably should in terms of his history of good works. But, you know, there are a lot of older guys who occasionally say from the gut some things that they historically have hidden inside. So,
you know,
it's not horrible.
One of the reasons why people think that Brokeback Mountain didn't win the Academy Awards that it was expected was because Jack Nicholson was grossed out by the movie. You know, talk about an old guy who's like had more than a billion girlfriends who was grossed out by Brokeback Mountain. So, I mean, you know.
Well, I don't know. And I think it's interesting. I think it's less upsetting to lots of people to see lesbian women.
Than it is to see
gay men. And I think, why is that? Why is that?
Because men are all sexual predators?
Well, no,
that's
no,
not
I'm
it.
Not, but I'm not a man. I'm a woman.
And you feel the same way?
I feel it's much less upsetting to watch women than it is to watch men. And that's why I was saying I expected I was going to be upset in Brokeback Mountain, and I wasn't. I would have been much more upset in the Al Pacino, Matt Damon, Liberace movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
But in all fairness, Brokeback Mountain was a phenomenal,
great movie. Yeah.
And despite all the plaudits that Liberace got, I thought it was really
cheap. It was an
cheap.
Awful movie.
I know Michael Douglas and Damon. It was a big nothing.
It was depressing.
In any case, you know,
very
speaking of transparent, you were working on something.
It was.
You were working on something,
Poor
Sue.
Matt Damon. Didn't end well.
The transgender civil rights bill is on Beacon Hill. Mm-hmm. I know you're doing a lot of work about this thing. What's in it? What isn't in it? Where is Baker on it? I mean, what's the whole picture?
It's very simple. This is Senator Sonia Chang Diaz has reintroduced. So she's introduced it to this session. She had it in the last session. And it basically is just adding public accommodations, you know, as we have learned that when bills get passed, like Obamacare, sometimes they need some tinkering to make them work. The public accommodations got dropped from the bill last time around in order to get it passed. Transgender people in Massachusetts are protected from being discriminated against in terms of employment, in terms of housing, in all the ways that folks get protected. The one place they are not protected is in this thing called public accommodations. What are public accommodations? It means that, say, a coffee shop would be illegally acting if they denied employment to a transgender person solely because they were transgender. So they hire the transgender person, but they can tell the transgender person they can't use the bathroom, nor can they shop in the store.
What if they think it's going to affect their business?
It doesn't matter.
They'd still be violating the law.
So basically, the law has been introduced to add that public accommodations to the existing bill. Charlie Baker has been Governor Baker. Candidate Baker was in support of the trans bill. He had some bobbling in the early days.
Uh-huh.
He did call it the bathroom bill. I think he's evolved.
Well, that was four,
I think
that
he
was
gets
four
it.
Years
you know,
ago
that's all water under the bridge. But he has said publicly to Mass Live that he is uncertain about how it would work. He needs some education on it. So we're saying we're ready. We're ready to educate Governor Baker on why this is important and why it's a gaping hole in an otherwise good law.
So how's this phone bank going to work?
We are urging all of our readers at baywindows.com to call Senator Sonia Chang Diaz's office and contact it, ask how they can help. Call your senators and your representatives, which you can find at the state website. Tell them that you support the bill, which is listed at baywindows.com. And then as it moves through, we're going to work towards educating Governor Charlie Baker so that we can get it passed and into law.
Okay, now one last thing before you go, Sue O'Connell. We talked earlier in the show about the obsession with Deflategate.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. I didn't know if you were going to bring this up. So glad.
I'm wondering, I don't know how big of a Patriots fan you are or not, but I wonder if you are as riveted and devastated as many of our listeners are about Deflategate and what you think that devastation
means. As Jim knows, I have been boycotting watching football since the beginning of the season due to the head injuries and the domestic violence issues.
Wow.
I did watch the game on Sunday. It's out of the regular season. Yep. I watched the game Sunday.
Wait a second. As a matter of principle,
I think that's fine.
You can't watch during the regular season. Playoffs. Okay.
Who knew this was going to go? I would just, you know, and
sorry.
I've not criticized other
I got,
people.
Okay,
I haven't
continue.
Been on Facebook
I shouldn't have
saying
criticized
you're
you.
No, it's okay. But I haven't said, like, you shouldn't be watching.
Okay, go ahead.
But I think it's my duty to say, as concerned as we are about deflated balls, we should be a little bit more concerned about the damaged brains in the people playing football.
Well.
There you go.
It's pretty deep.
And the crowd goes wild.
You're right. Now the crowd does go wild. Took all the air out of the room, as the saying goes. How many puns are there about the Flakegate, do you think?
But I love hearing everybody talk about it.
Sue, you've got decades left in you, apparently. Decades. So we're really happy to hear it. We'll see you again next week.
See you next week. Thanks.
That's because Sue does join us every week. She's the co-publisher of Bay Windows and the South End News. Up next, it is time for Open Mic with Globe columnist Alex Beam, who hates everything normally, but for some reason he's going to defend, of all things, his annual physical examination. That is next on 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio.